Hey guys, this is Anna. So we've definitely got quite a bit to talk about today. So here in this first segment, we are going to focus more on news in the trans community and the LGBT community in general. We have some good news and we also have some bad news. So we'll definitely be starting out with the bad news. But in the second segment, we'll be talking about love. What does it mean? What does it mean to love others? In the biblical sense. And unlike last time, I'll actually be taking a break in between the segments, because so in the last episode, if you listen to it, I kind of got a bit heated in the first segment, discussing just how we just do so much, cause so much destruction to these stupid man-made rules about, relationships and sexuality and all that stuff. And I said I were gonna take a break, but in real time, I actually really did not take a break at all between the segments. Like, I literally just immediately started recording second. That was a huge mistake. Like, I was burnt out after that, and yeah, it kind of showed in that second segment, I think. I really had nothing left to say. I was out of breath, my brain was fried. So I am actually not going to commit that mistake again. I'll actually be taking a break in between the segments, actually, this time. So that hopefully we don't have that giant second half slump like last week. Anyway, enough rambling on. Let's get into the news, because I think that these are things that we should talk about. So the first one that I think that we want to talk, that we definitely should talk about, is conversion therapy. So there is a state senator in Arizona, Vince Leach, he's a Republican, of course, who is sponsoring a bill that would prevent any municipality or county in Arizona from banning gay conversion therapy. So conversion therapy, just in case you don't know what it is, because I have actually been surprised at how many people don't know, including in the LGBT community, don't even know what conversion therapy is. That's something that stunned me, but it's true. But yeah, so basically, it's quite simply, it's psychological and emotional torture. And the goal of this torture is to try to make you not gay or make you not trans. It's try to force you into being straight or cisgender, And it's like, I know that people are like, oh my gosh, that is so hyperbolic, Anna. It's literally not. They call it conversion therapy, but it's not what it is. It's literally psychological torture. Let's not pretend otherwise, or even in some cases, it's even worse. Like, used to be this way in America, and it probably still does play up in some places, just under the tick, undercover, But especially in other countries where we do conversion therapy, like, they'll rape you and all that stuff. Like, because apparently, like, they think that, if they rape a gay man or rape a lesbian, then, like, they'll turn straight or something, or, like, even here in America, there's a story recently about the gay guy who was like, they literally forced open his eyelids and forced him to watch masturbation, like straight porn and all that stuff. Like, just disgusting. It is beyond disgusting. Like, it is literal psychological torture. I went through it. The therapy I went through, like, if you were to ask my parents or the therapist, if it was conversion therapy, they would scoff at it, because, like, it was never at any point advertised as conversion therapy. But the whole point of the therapy was to try to convince me that I was a man, that I was happy being a man, and that my being trans was just a sexual perversion, And as long as once we got rid of that sexual perversion and dealt with it, then it just, voila, I'd be a happy, healthy cisgender man, it's insidious, so I've gone through it, that's how I can tell you that it is in fact torture. And so that's what this is. And so Leach, they want to, so basically they're So basically, here's how conversion therapy has been treated in America so far. So almost half of the states in the U.S., along with multiple counties, including Pima County in Arizona, have banned conversion therapy. But Leach, who is a Arizona state senator, he has backing with other Republicans. They want to try to prevent Pima County from banning conversion therapy. In fact, the bill, in its, according to Pink News, the bill in its current form seeks to prevent professional counselors from being discredited if they are providing therapy that is following their conscious or religious belief. So yeah, you know, if you are religious, you are allowed to torture people, apparently. Yeah, okay, if your conscience leads you to torture people because they are different, that's not a good conscience. That's not a conscience that you should be following, okay? Let's say that straight up, you know? And what kind of religious belief must you have that says torturing people because they are different is okay? Like, no. This is literally just them trying to moralize it. Like, they know. Okay, make no mistake about it. If you are in the government, you know, like, you understand LGBT issues, you understand racism, you understand this stuff. Like, maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene doesn't, but let's be honest, most of these people, you know, maybe the QAnon nut jobs don't, but let's be honest, people like Ted, let's talk about federal government, you know, maybe like Ted Cruz, you know, Ben Sasse, Mike Lee, they know. They know, they understand trans issues and all that stuff. They understand Black Lives Matter and what it's doing. They just have to pretend to be ignorant, okay? It's just one big disgusting grift for power. That's all this is for them. But yeah, even in like state governments, you know, and stuff like that, like they know. Okay, make no mistake. You know, maybe like some of the really, really far right nut jobs, you know, like QAnon nuts don't, because let's be honest, QAnon nuts don't know anything about anything. But like, Vince Leach, he knows. Okay, he knows. I guarantee it. He knows what conversion therapy is, and that it's never worked. It's never worked. Ever. All it does is make mental health worse and lead to suicides, or suicidality, should I say, because it doesn't always lead to suicides, but leads to more suicidality and more, you know, in worse mental health. There is never a case where it's actually benefited anyone. Like, it just doesn't happen. It is only ever caused harm. And he knows that. He and the other Republican buddies, they know that. But they don't care. Why? Because they want to try to push us back in the closet. Because it's all about power for them. If LGBT people are allowed to be in society, you know, be a part of society, live as ourselves, you know, marry whoever we want, have sex with whoever we want, live however we want, whatever, that's less power for them. And they can't, they don't want that. They want the power. They want all the power. You know, they don't want us to have any comfort. They don't want us to have any power. So they have to try to shove us back in the closet. And how do you do that? Threaten conversion therapy. And how do you try to justify such an abhorrent practice as conversion therapy? Make it about religious rights. Despite the fact that's complete bullshit and there's literally nothing in the Bible that could ever, it could even possibly be used to defend such a practice. But that doesn't matter. Anyway, let's see. Cindy Dahlgreen of the Conservative Center for Arizona Policy told 12 News, "The government should not be telling individuals what kind of therapy they should receive, nor the therapist what he or she can talk about." Okay, this is bullshit. Like, yes, sometimes the government, like, that's not what's happening. Like, they're trying to make this about some, like, choice of freedom. Like, but that's not what happens. No adult is going into conversion therapy willingly. Like, the people who are being sent to conversion therapy are kids and teens. Parents, transphobic, homophobic parents are sending their teens and children into these places. Like, this is not what's happening. Like, And yes, the government should, in times, step in and say, hey, you can't do that, because it literally has been proven time and time again, literally thousands upon thousands of cases where it doesn't work and all it does is lead to harm. Yes, the government should actually ban that. Like, if the thing only ever leads to harm and significant harm to the point of suicide, yeah, you know, the government is right to do that in this case. Like, sorry. But at least not all is lost in Arizona. There is some good news. There's actually another bill, being pushed at the same time to ban conversion therapy in the state. So there is a Democrat Senator, Sean Bowie, for the fourth year in a row, is pushing for a bill that would ban conversion therapy for children under 18. However, the bill would not apply to religious counselors because he's a massive cuck who must bend to religious conservatives at every point. Because, okay, it's not secular people who are sending their children to conversion therapy. It's Christians. Like, this bill literally would do nothing. But I mean, okay, it wouldn't do nothing. Is it a step in the right direction? Yes. And it's not like there are no, like, non-Christians who are sending for children into conversion therapy. It's like, it's hyperbole to say that it would do no good. But let's be honest, it's not as effective. Like, once again, this is ultimately, I guess, in a good thing. Like, not, you know, like I said, you know, not all hope is lost. Like, it does do some good, but let's be honest, it doesn't go anywhere far enough. Like, it doesn't go even close to going far enough. Like, this doesn't have as much as a dent as it should. You know? And so, yeah, you know, Bowie, the Democrat senator, is pushing it. So Old 12 News, it even votes touted as therapy. It's important to point out there's no major medical group that supports conversion therapy. He added, it's extremely harmful and they've lost a lot of young people. But what, and exactly, like, there's literally no reason to ever support for conversion therapy. And the thing is, this is one of the things where I don't care if you're completely ignorant on the issue. You do not get to support conversion therapy. Like, if you support, I don't care if you're fucking complete fucking idiot who's just saying supporting it because Fox News told you to. No, you are a straight up a disgusting human being. Like, there is literally no benefit of a doubt that you get. There's nothing. Like, you are straight up a disgusting, abysmal human being. Like, I'm sorry. I've been through it. It is torture. I know other people have been through it. Like, no. There is literally no ignorance plea you get to plea. There is no benefit of a doubt. Like, you do not get to support torture. Like, sorry. It doesn't work that way. You don't we don't give you a free pass because you're just ignorant on it. Like, imagine if we allowed, Nazis to get away with that. You know, like, yes, I know, bringing up Nazis in a political discussion, and I don't care. Shut up. It's like, imagine if we allowed in, like guards had concentration camps and all that stuff. Say, well, we didn't know we were gassing them to death in those chambers. No, you don't get to, like, or, you know, government, like, German, like, Nazi government officials, like, well, I didn't know we were gassing Jews in chambers, you know? That's probably more analogous, you know? Like, government officials, like, pretending that they are ignorant on this shit, you know? Well, I didn't know my rhetoric would lead to this. Like, no, you don't get away with that, you know? Once you're leading to that kind of harm, you know, whatever it's, like, you know, in this case, you know, it's people committing suicide, you know, or self-harm. Okay, once you lead to harm of other people in such a way, you don't really get that in such a obvious way. Like, this is not like I understand why people understand that don't understand that rhetoric leads to violence, or, you know, like, transphobic rhetoric doesn't lead, you know, how that leads to self-harm and bad mental health. Like, I understand how people don't understand how rhetoric leads to that. But when you're supporting something like this, it's so obviously wrong. Like, psychological torture, like, hello. you don't get the benefit of a doubt in this case. Like, it's not that hard to understand. Anyway, speaking of, you know, before we get to good news, legit good news, once again, we have religious people, Christians wanting to be discriminatory because, well, they're disgusting human beings, okay? Mitt Romney, he says he wants to, he's going to oppose the Equality Act. Because what it is, it's a LGBTQ rights bill. Okay, just a second. I got to pause here. I'll be back in just a moment. So sorry, you're going to hear probably me kind of come back sounding a bit different or something. I don't know. But something's going on. I got to go. So. Okay, sorry about that. The place was just shaking violently and all that stuff. So, like, you know, when your apartment starts, like, shaking violently, like, you got to go check, like, what's going on. Like, so sorry about that. But anyway, Mitt Romney, there's this LGBT equality rights bill that's being pushed through our federal government right now. It's called the Equality Act. And he said he will oppose it unless it includes language that would allow Christians to discriminate against LGBT people. Oh, and even better, bisexual Senator Kristen Sinema also wants to sink the proposed legislation. Yeah, we got our own people kind of going against us. That's great. That's great. And by the way, she's also a Democrat. So, yeah. You know, how is that for bipartisanship? Bipartisan screen, America over. You gotta love it. You know, how could you not? So here's the thing. The Bible, in no way, discriminates. It preaches discrimination against LGBT people. In fact, the Bible is not in any way against LGBT people. This is literally just a power grab. There is literally no excuse. Like, I don't even care if your religion does say, like, I am a Christian. I am not a evangelical. I am not a right-wing Christian. But, like, let's pretend the Bible was, for a second, discriminatory. Like, that doesn't give you an excuse. Okay, you do not get to harm people. Like, I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, it is not your right to harm others. The government should not be in the business of allowing people to harm others. In fact, the government should be punishing you for harming others, if we're being completely frank. And what he wants to say do is allow, you know, right-wing Christians to harm people because they were born different. Because apparently that's religious rights. No, it's not. It has nothing to do with religious rights. And they know it. Mitt Romney knows that this has nothing to do with religious rights. They just want power. You know, it's, once again, this is all a power game to them. Straight, cisgender, white males, Christian males, they want the power. And this is one way to do it. Cry religious rights, even when it doesn't apply in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, it's just disgusting. Like, you literally have no excuse to discriminate against LGBT people. There's literally no excuse, no reason to do it. Straight up. None. Just sip it. Don't even say it. Like, you're wrong. Whatever you're about to say, you're wrong. It's just simply that way. I'm sorry. But hey, all right. Let's get to some good news, okay? Let's cheer up a bit. So, Virginia is nearing a ban on gay and trans panic defenses in criminal trials. All right, so what is panic defense? Okay, actually, we're going to get to it in this article. So, this is from LGBTQ Nation. Here's what they say. A proposal by Virginia Delegate Danica Rahm, a Democrat, to ban the use of LGBTQ panic defenses has advanced in both the Senate's House of Delegates and Senate. Having passed the House already, the proposal has passed the Virginia Senate Judiciary Committee and now only needs to pass through the Senate Finance and Appropriations Committee before making it to the Senate floor. The committee is the last step before the proposal is voted on by the Democrat-controlled Senate. If passed, it will go before the governor for his signature. I don't know how to pronounce it, I'm sorry, made history when she became the first transgender person elected to a state legislature in 2017 and soundly defeated a challenger in 2019 who attempted to weaponize her gender identity to garner conservative votes. Rome credited the support of Judy Shepard, the mother of the late Matthew Shepard, for spurring the legislation forward with her testimony. So, the so-called gay panic or trans panic defenses are meant to excuse a violent response to being propositioned by someone of the same sex. The dubious defense has been used for decades to excuse violence against LGBT people. For discovery of, perception of, or belief about another person's actual or perceived sex, gender, or gender identity, or sexual orientation, whether or not accurate, is not a defense to any charge of murder, Virginia's proposal reads. So basically what it is, go a little bit deeper. So what the gay or trans panic defense laws are is basically it's if you even just suspect a lesbian, you know, or a gay man, you know, depending on what sex you are, you know, of trying to hit on you, you can kill them. And when it comes to trans people, if you had sex with one, you can kill them. And all you have to do is claim, well, I didn't know that they were trans. I didn't, you know, or, you know, in the case of the gay thing, well, they were making me feel uncomfortable. You know, I think they're trying to hit on me. And so therefore, I have the right to kill them because, you know, I can't deal with it in an adult manner. Because you see, I'm just a child in an adult's body who can't use words. And because they are born different than me, I get to kill them. Yeah, great law. You know, it's beyond disgusting. Like, no, you don't get the right to kill people just because we're different than you. Like, it's honestly beyond despicable that we could even pass this thing in to begin with. Anyway, so Virginia would be the 12th state to ban the defense. Connecticut, Hawaii, California, New York, Illinois, Nevada, Washington, Maine, Rhode Island, New Jersey, and Colorado have banned panic defense. The American Bar Association has condemned the defense as well. A similar proposal is pending in Congress that would ban panic defenses from being used in federal courts. Yet 39 states will allow the supposed defense strategy in courtrooms, although Virginia and 11 other states have proposals to ban it under consideration. Let's see. The bans don't always mean that lawyers can't use LGBTQ identity in a motivating factor when defending for clients, however. Rather, such bans require judges to read post-trial instructions telling jurors to ignore bias, sympathy, prejudice, or public opinion in making their decision. Other bans also require training for district attorneys' offices on how to prevent queer phobia from affecting trial outcomes. So yeah, you know, this is definitely good news. We need to ban this in every state. You do not and should not have the right to kill people just because we're different because you're apparently not adult enough to use words to, you know, to tell that, you know, gay person to stop hitting on you, you know. Apparently, that's just too hard. It's easier to snuff out a life than to say, hey, would you please stop, you know, flirting with me? I'm not gay, making me feel uncomfortable. Like, it's just too hard. Too hard. Anyway, final piece of good news before we come to our break, and I actually take an actual break unlike last time, and we get to start talking about loving others, including our enemies. So this is also from the LGBTQ Nation. The Biden administration is planning to push for allowing gender-neutral markers on federal IDs. So this is great, especially for, I mean, this is good for trans people, but let's be honest, especially for non-binary, gender fluid, gender non-conforming, whatever, agender people. This is amazing. Or even intersex. That just hit me, So this is really good news, for, gender non-conforming rights, basically anyone who could possibly fall under the trans umbrella. So the Biden administration has been reportedly in talks with the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, about undertaking a plan that will allow agencies of the United States government to allow an X option as a gender marker on federal issued documents. That would mean transgender, non-binary, and intersex Americans could get a gender neutral mark on U.S. passports, Social Security cards, and other forms of identification on a federal level. So yes, this would not be at a state level. This would strictly be for federal documents. But yeah, hey, you know what? This is a major step forward. This is pretty big. Still, the 19th reports that Joe Biden is planning to take executive action in the near future, although the White House did not outline a timeline. Actions necessary beyond an executive order were not immediately detailed. White House Senior Associate Communications Director Matt Hill issued a statement to the 19th, reporter Kate Sozin, albeit affirming that the administration hopes to make the step soon. President Biden has remains committed to advancing state and federal efforts to that allow transgender and non-binary Americans to update their identification documents to accurately reflect their gender identity, especially as transgender and non-binary people continue to face harassment or are denied access to services because their identification documents don't affirm their identity, Hill, who is gay, said on behalf of the administration. Let's see. Strategists at the ACLU are hoping that the administration will start with the plan within the administration's first 100 days, but 30 days into Biden's presidency so far, it may not happen so fast. They also hope that federal rules requiring gender will be limited or made optional, except where necessary, and that a self-declaration will be enough for someone to change their gender, as opposed to medical or evidentiary documentation. Which is a very good thing. There's literally no reason for this medical gatekeeping, or therapeutic gatekeeping to transition or getting your documents changed. It's straight up evil, despicable. I don't even know why we still do it other than to try to appease religious conservatives who honestly just need to be told to go screw themselves, if we're being completely honest. But no, here's the thing, it is so good to have an actual ally in the White House. After 4 years of Trump, where he literally tried to erase trans people from existence, I have a lot of problems with Joe Biden, especially as of late, some of his disgusting moves, like him not, not wanting to sign off the student debt, clear away that, backing down from $15 minimum wage. There's a lot of problems with him, He is not left wing. He's basically a Republican. Okay, let's be honest. He's basically a Republican. I don't like that, but at least we have an ally in office, and that makes me feel good. I'm glad to have that. Anyway, everybody, you hear from your sponsor. I am going to go take a good long break. My voice is definitely I'm starting to kind of wear out my voice. And so, yeah, you'll hear from me after this break, and I'll see you then, and we'll talk about loving others in a biblical sense. All right, everybody, I am back from my break. I hope that you're still sticking around, but yeah, we definitely got quite a bit that I still got left to talk about. So, let us get started. So, sorry, I got to figure out how exactly I want to start this. So what is the point of the gospel? I guess that's how I'll start this out. What is the message of the gospel? Beyond, heaven and hell. It's love. Okay, is there any disagreement on that? Literally the most iconic verse in the Bible, for good reason, John 3:16 literally says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." God loved us so much that he gave up his only son to not only die a physical death, you know, to suffer at the hands, you know, suffer this execution, but to die a spiritual death. Because remember, you know, that's the true power of his death and resurrection. It's not that he physically died and physically came back to life. No, like, he came back in a resurrected body, a spiritual body. The power in his sacrifice was that he died spiritually. Remember, on the cross, he called out, "Father, Father, why have you abandoned me?" Like, God separated himself from Jesus, which means that he was spiritually separated from the Father, which is spiritual death, a.k.a. hell. Okay, like, he suffered a spiritual death and then was brought back to spiritual life. You know, and, you know, we also see, like, I believe it was in 1 Corinthians, you know, the greatest of all of these is love, you know, and there's, like, the list of, you know, things that love is, you know, basically the love chapter, you know, love is patient, love is kind, you know, and all those things. I can't remember, you know, what all the things that they say love is. Okay, I don't know. go to, if you want to know what it is, you know, you're too late, you know. Just look up any Hallmark wedding card ever, okay? Like, it's on there. But, so the whole point of the gospel, you know, when Jesus said, you know, the greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. The whole point of the gospel is love. And therefore, the point of being a Christian is to love others. You know, Jesus talked about, like, you know, loving those who persecute you and praying for them. That's what sets us apart as Christians from the world. So all of that said, what about the Christians who do hate others? What about the Christians who hate Muslims, hate black people, hate gays, hate trans peoples? You know, 7 years ago, back, I believe it is 2014, Charisma Magazine, which is a pretty big Christian publication, they posted an article saying that not only should Muslims be, like, kicked out of the country and everything, but they, and not only should we kill them, as if that's not horrific enough, you know, saying that we should kill Muslims, they should be forcibly sterilized. This was a Christian that wrote this, you know, and we see all the time literal pastors say things that, you know, like I was watching on BitChute about a year ago, an actual pastor, I don't remember his name, was like Steven Anderson or something like that. You know, he's a completely hateful human being. He was talking to a literally sad trans people should kill themselves. Like, he was citing the statistics, you know, of the high suicidality rates, you know, the higher than average suicidality rates of, you know, in the trans community versus, you know, normal population. And it was like, good, I hope you kill yourself. Please, for the love of God, I hope you kill yourself. That's what he was saying. And this is a pastor. You know, we see all the time, like, I have friends who say things, you know, like, who, I know so many people who hate LGBT people. I know many, I've met Christians who hate brown people. I know many, I've talked to Christians who hate immigrants. And so, can you be hateful and still be a Christian? Basically, I guess what I'm really asking kind of is, should we look at the transphobe, the Islamophobe, the racist, whatever, as our brothers and sisters in Christ? That's a hard question. you know, and no matter what we say, and I know that it's easy to flippantly maybe to say, yeah, but no, we're not Christian. But remember, no matter what you say, this carries a lot of weight. Like, if you just cut them off and say, no, we're not Christian, that's a judgment that comes with a lot of weight and some serious repercussions. This is not a thing that should be just flippantly decided. And this has been something I've been thinking about for a bit now, to be honest. And I have come down on the side that I believe they are. I believe the transphobe. I believe Ted Cruz. I believe, you know, people like Ted Cruz, you know, Steven Anderson, whatever, you know, they are my brothers in Christ. You know, I think that those who went to kill me because I am trans were my brothers in Christ. You know, of those Christians I see that hate immigrants just because they're immigrants, you know, and they're brown. For my brother in Christ, for my brother's sisters in Christ. Doesn't mean that I agree with her behavior at all. But the thing is, we are sinful human beings. We like to talk about like how this person is a good person. And that person is a bad person. You know? We like to think that like, oh, I am better than that person. That is a strictly human way of thinking about things. God does not see that at all. Okay, like in the Bible, it says no one is good, not one. We are incapable of doing any good. Like we are born not good. We are not good creatures one bit. Like, we don't even have the capacity to do good. Like, our works are like dirty rags to compare to God. Like, I'm pretty certain that's even biblical, if I remember right, you know. Couldn't even tell you what book that's in, but... And I'm pretty certain, like, there's a verse that talks about that. You know, every single thing that we do is because of Jesus, is because of God. You know, me speaking right now, me being able to see, me moving my hands, me breathing, me walking, me making a choice on something. That's because God allowed me to. If God wanted to take away my speech right now, he could do that. And I wouldn't be able to speak. Like, this podcast would just go silent. You know? You know, God could easily just take away my movement. He could just paralyze me. He could do anything. Everything we do is because of him. And that includes good. Doing, you know, quote unquote good things. But the thing is, God does not see us as good or bad human beings. Like, he doesn't look at me, Anna, like, oh, Anna, because you were better than so-and-so, you know, you're a good person. Like, no, this is not a works-based salvation. This is a, salvation is a gift. All right, sorry about that. I know that I didn't give any warning, but I did have to go, and Sony was knocking on my door, so I had to get up in the middle of my little speech there. So I actually don't even remember what I was exactly saying. You know, I know that really kind of so sorry about that. Completely broke up my little rant there. So. Anyway, let me kind of try to remember what I was kind of getting at here. I know this is the second time this happened in the podcast. I am actually like really embarrassed right now. Anyway, so, you know, anything that we do is because God, you know, he doesn't view us as like these good human beings, you know, or bad human beings. What he sees strictly is, are you in the book of life? Or are you condemned to eternal damnation? That's how he sees us. Okay? Like, in terms of good and bad, in God's eyes, There is no difference between me and Adolf Hitler. Do you know what the difference, though, between me and Adolf Hitler is? I'm saved. I humbled myself and asked for, repented of my ways. You know, I asked God to save me from myself. You know, I said, Lord, I don't want to continue living in this life of sin anymore. You know, unless Adolf Hitler at the last minute decided to give himself to Christ, which I, to be honest, highly doubt, he's burning in hell. In God's eyes, that's the difference between me and Adolf. Not that I'm so much more of a moral person. Like, no, I'm not. I'm literally not. I am not a good person at all. You know, I am just as capable of doing the things Adolf Hitler did. I am just as capable of him as doing those things. You know, and let's be honest, you know, I have fallen in the trap of hating people myself. You know, a little bit after I accepted I was trans, there was a point where I literally hated cisgender people. Literally just because they are cisgender. Because I had been hurt greatly, and so I kind of felt that it was justified. Okay, you know, I did think it was justified to hate cisgender people just for being cis. Because, hey, they hurt me. I'm allowed to hate you. You know, and it doesn't even matter if you're an ally or not. Like, you're cis, you know, you have that sin of being cis. And I fell into that trap. There's this person I literally almost murdered one time because my hatred for him ran over so greatly. That actually happened. I literally almost murdered someone, or at least attempted to, because I hated him that much. I have bullied people. I am not a great human being. Like, I have fallen into this trap of hatred myself. You know, like, and then I look at people like Ted Cruz, who claims to be a Christian. And then I think back to how I have fallen into that trap of hatred. And it's still something I struggle with all the time. Am I not a Christian then? What's the line? What's the difference between me and Ted Cruz? If he says that he's a Christian, then has he not been forgiven of this? Then why haven't I forgiven him? And if so, you know, why haven't I forgiven him of it, Saul? Fact is, it's not my place to judge whether somebody like Ted Cruz, you know, who's a raging transphobe and racist and all these horrible things, whether he's a Christian or not. That's God's place to judge. You know, at the end of Ted Cruz's life, he'll be standing there, and God will, you know, and the book of life will be opened. And if his name is in there, he's going to go into heaven. I don't have access to the book of life. I can't make that decision, whether he is or not. All I know is that he says he's a Christian. How can I claim that he's not? How is it in my place to say, no, Ted, you aren't a Christian, therefore you aren't my brother, and therefore I will not worship with you, no, therefore I will not love you like you're my brother or anything. It's not my place. And even if he isn't a Christian, it's still my job as a Christian to love him, to pray for him, you know? And I guess I kind of want to end it with this question. And yesterday I was listening to the liturgists. So I have actually just started on the great backlog of the liturgists podcast. And they had Rachel Held Evans on, rest in peace. And a question that they asked was, would you take communion with such people? Would you take communion with people who said, Christians who said that Muslims should be sterilized? With Christians
who think that gay people should be put to death, who think that slavery was just like all these horrific things. Would you take communion with these people? That is not an easy question. And I have been thinking about that quite a bit since I heard that question last night. And to be honest, I think I agree with everyone who was on that podcast and say, yes, if I were in the same room with Ted Cruz and we were to do communion, you know, if we were to worship together or even just like worship together, I would do it. Because as far as I'm concerned, he is still my brother in Christ. You know, he may hate every fiber of my being, but that doesn't excuse me from loving him and worshiping with him. Like, we still worship the same God at the end of the day, you know? And I don't want to make it sound like I'm excusing, like, abusive relationships or anything, because I know that somebody is going to hyperbolize what I say and accuse me of trying, like, saying that, you know, we should just, you know, worship of anyone and everyone. Like, you know, like, for instance, abusers, you know? If you're in an abusive relationship, you know, if you've escaped from an abusive relationship with someone or something like that, you know, running from an abuser, and, you know, they are Christian, I'm not saying you should, like, you know, worship with them, have communion with them, or anything like that. Okay, like, I want to make it clear, you are not bad for doing that. You know, at some point, you know, you do have to have some boundaries. But the thing is, communion, me having communion, me worshiping with somebody like Ted Cruz, with transphobes, with racists, whatever, it is not an endorsement of her actions. It is just saying, you are my brother, sister in Christ, and therefore I will worship our God together. Because we are still family. Whether you recognize me as a part of that family or not, we are still family. And therefore, even if you refuse to act like we are, I will. I will do what God commanded us, even if you will not. Your refusal to listen to what God commands is not an excuse for me to do the same. Because guess what? I fall short in many areas where you stand strong on. You know, so I am not a better person than you by any means. Maybe by human standards, I am better. But at the end of the day, our human standards mean nothing. My human standards are not what God judges by. He judges by his perfect and holy standard. And let's be honest, he doesn't really care that much about what I think about something. Because he's the creator of the universe. He's the one who created me. He's the one who created these racists and these transphobes. We are to live by his standards, even if they refuse to. Anyway, that's really all I have for today. I hope I have given you a lot to think about. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. My email will be in the description below. Yeah, and if you want me to, and if you give me permission, I can read them on air. Or if you just want me to just, you know, email you back with the answer, that's fine too. If you enjoy my content, support me on Patreon. The link will be in the description below. Or you can also do one-time payments through Cash App, Venmo, or PayPal. And yeah, I think that's really about everything. Thank you for listening, everyone. I hope that you have a good day. Bye.